We're talking about Eish Mayim and Midbar, and several explanations of Eish Mayim and Midbar. Okay, so let's just go back a tiny bit. Let's go back to Lefichach. Lefichach be'elu gimel dvarim nitna Torah. Right, again, several explanations of what it means that the Torah was given with water, with fire, in wilderness. Those are things which, again, each one in its own way expresses different elements of Kabbalah HaTorah. So we explain that perhaps they correspond to the Schar and Onesh and the Etzem HaTorah. And now we begin to explain a different approach to Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. So B'mayim, Kamo Shenemar, Mayim is a reference to, like it says in Sefer Shoftim, Ki Ha'ovim Notfu Mayim, that the clouds are dripping with water. What does that mean? V'zehu Hatov, Ki Him Gishmei Bracha L'Olam. Right, the water represents again the blessed rain on a good rainy day like today. Get to think about that a little bit. V'kach haTorah hi haTov haGamur. Right, just like you need rain to allow things to grow, that while rain can sometimes seem burdensome, but of course it's so necessary for our survival. So that's what Torah is. Right, the Torah is the Tov haGamur. U'kmo sha'amar al zeh ya'arof kamatar likchi, that my teachings should drip down upon the world. My guidance, my teachings should be like matar. V'amru chazal, ma matar chayim la'olam, af Torah chayim la'olam. And just like you need rain to sustain the world, so too, of course, we need Torah to sustain the world. Kamo she'amarnu. V'nitna be'esh, furthermore, the Torah was given with fire. What does fire represent? A certain intensity, and that's also true for Torah. Torah requires that intensity. Right, that all types of Torah has, again, Torah is of necessity. It has to be. There's a sense of obligation, a sense of responsibility. And therefore, it's like fire, which is given with strength and with power. So just like the Torah is chazak, so too, it was given with fire to remind us of its strength. Like the Navi Yirmiyah expressed, "Halo ko dvarai ke'esh nu'um Hashem," that my words are like fire. U'kepatish yifotze sela, and like the blacksmith's hammer that shatters the rock. Midama haTorah le'esh lechozek she'esh bedivrei Torah. To remind us again, not only is Torah necessary in the sense that it sustains like water, but Torah is also powerful like fire. Ki advarim shaba muchrachim, that the words of Torah and what is contained in Torah is of necessity. And again, Torah is not optional. It's powerful. It's demanding. And that's an important part of our relationship with Torah. And lastly, the Torah, of course, primarily was given in a midbar. Right? There was a backdrop of fire and water, and Torah is compared to fire, and Torah is compared to water. But the location of the Torah was the midbar. What's the pshat in the midbar? Uvipnesha Torah hi alokis sichlis. Because the Torah is spiritual, is neshamadik, it's godly. Ve'ena nimusis, the Torah is not merely an ethical system by which we live. Lakach nitna b'midbar. Therefore, the Torah was given in the midbar. Why? Sha'midbar hu miyuchad l'dvar malokim asichliyim, as we somewhat explained above, that the midbar is a place that's ideal for godliness, for spirituality, because it's so far removed from the normal places where human beings live. I explain it elsewhere in my Sefer Gevuras Hashem. This is part of the idea why so many of our greatest leaders were shepherds. Sha Midbar, right? The Midbar is a place where a person can encounter God. Like it says in Moshe Rabbeinu on his way to the burning bush, that Moshe Rabbeinu was guiding his sheep, or the sheep of Yisro, in the wilderness. As we explained above, again, the wilderness is a place that is devoid of human inhabitants, and because of that, you know, when we get ourselves out of the way, so it's easier to let God in. So therefore the Torah, yes, it is absolutely fitting that the Torah, besides all the messages of humility, right, but more than that, we're saying that the Midbar is a place that is somewhat disconnected from human life, because Torah itself is really greater than humanity. And that's part of the Chiddush, that Hashem brought us, Jewish people, to the Midbar to receive the Torah. It's a way of almost reminding us, well, in a midbar, it's not a place for human beings, right? Because you're not regular human beings, and neither is the Torah a way of living for regular human beings. It's above reality. It's a ma'al min ha-teva. It's transcendent. It's something more. Okay, so therefore the Torah was given in a midbar, v'lo b'yishuv. Ki b'yishuv hadvar mativim. Because in the yishuv, life operates naturally. V'atorah eina l'fi ha-teva. And there's nothing regular about Torah. And this is understood by those who understand the deeper dimensions of wisdom, and it's also correct. I like that. It's an interesting line, right? You'll understand. They could understand it more Kabbalistically, more often pnimi, or it's just, it's simple. It's true. The imagery is simple and true. Umitzad kol gimel b'chinos elo haTorah hi nivdales min ha'adam. So in these three dimensions, there's something, right, that about the nature of mayim, gevuros, geshamim, about the strength of fire, right, about the disconnect of human life from a wilderness, that makes all three of these things, eish, mayim, midbar, separate from Adam. And that's true in a sense that, again, the Torah is not really something that is, again, even though we explained so many times throughout the Sefer, that Torah is a perfect fit for a Jew, right? But in terms of our humanity, in terms of our physical existence, the Torah is very much the opposite of that. So it was given in a way that it's nivdeles min adam, that it's separate from man. V'lakach amar, and that's why the Medrash says, ma'elu heim hefker la'olam, af divrei Torah heim hefker la'olam. Just like these three things are not, you know, owned by people in a typical way. No one owns the ocean, even though there may be, fishing rights or things like that. Right, you can't really own fire, and the wilderness, these desolate areas, right, are uninhabited. So too, Torah also has a certain hefkeris to it. Right, the Torah is for anyone and for everyone, and it's also in a sense for no one. It's beyond kind of our human grasp. Okay, let's talk about the different names of Har Sinai. Uveperek Rabbi Akiva, the ninth parak of Bracha of Shabbos. I'm sorry, and Daf Peites. The Gemara says, "My Har Sinai." Why was it called Har Sinai? That was the name of the wilderness. It was called Midbar Sin. Why was it called the Mountain of Sinai? Sheyarda Sina La'akum, because Sinai is a play on words. It brought Sina. It brought a lot of hatred to the world, to those who are machishe Hashem, those who deny Hashem. The Amar Biyosi, Hey Shemos Nikrolo. There were five different names given to that region, and each one reveals to us a different aspect of what it meant to receive the Torah there. It's called Midbar Tzin, Shenitztavu Yisrael Alav, because the Jews were commanded there. It's called Midbar Kadesh, Shenitzkadshu Yisrael Alav, because the Jews achieved sanctity there. In fact, right, the Pasuk says you should go back to your tents, which was the reunification of husbands and wives after they had separated for several days prior to Kabbalah Satorah. And the Gemara says that the women became pregnant and they were blessed with many children. So Har Sinai was a Hecha Timsa. It led to this awesome population explosion after Har Sinai. Midbar Sinai was called Sinai, Sheyarda Sina L'machishe Hashem, that it brought Sina upon those who denied Hashem. That's my addition. You're here, it says Akum, okay? To those who denied Hashem, or to the Akum, to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It was called Midbar Kademos, Shenasna Keduma Alav, because that which was Kadum, that which was Keduma to the world, that which preceded creation, namely the Torah, which was God's blueprint for creation, was given there. So it's called Midbar Kademos. Uma Shemo. And then the Gemara says, well, what's its real name? It has all these nicknames. Its real name is Chorev Shemo. It's really called Har Chorev. Why? Upligid Rabbi Abo. Dam Rabbi Abba, Har Sinai Shema. Rabbi Abba says, no, Har Sinai is the real name. Why was it called Har Chorev? Sheyarad Chorban L'machishe Hashem Alav. Because it brought Chorban upon those, again, who denied Hashem, those who don't believe. Okay, so Machlokas, is its real name Sinai? Is its real name Chorev? But either way, these messages are very important. It was a place where we were commanded. It was a place where we entered into a state of holiness. It was a place that brought a population explosion, Pru Revu. It was a place where we received the Torah, Midbar Kademos, right, that preceded the Torah, which preceded creation itself. It was a place that brought hatred upon the enemies of the Jewish people, or it brought Chorban upon the enemies of the Jewish people because of the rejection of Torah, and it also brought a certain animosity towards us, right? That there's a jealousy that the nations of the world, even though they chose not to accept the Torah, but there's a certain jealousy and a certain anger and a certain resentfulness that they have towards us. This is really Tosfos' question there in the Gemara in Shabbos, right? These names are not actually all one exact place. You know, a midbar sometimes, even though it's a wilderness, right? But different sections of the midbar might also have independent names. So even though the lo makom echad hu shenikra b'chol elu shemos, it wasn't one particular spot that was called Midbar Tzin and Midbar Paran and Midbar Kadesh and Midbar Kademos and Midbar Sinai. It was actually different locations in the Midbar. Ein zakasha. That's not a question. Ki das razal ki kol ha-midbar misha shubo Yisrael b'midbar Sinai ha-kol midbar echad she'ein makom miyushav b'neihem. It's true. If we were studying the map from a geographical perspective, yes, there's something called Midbar Tzin. There's a region of the wilderness called Midbar Tzin. There's a region called Midbar Kadesh, v'chulu. Right? But from the perspective that we're trying to explain, that all of these various locations in the wilderness were desolate, were outside of the normative yeshuv, the normal places that people live. So therefore, from the time that Klal Yisrael arrived, the whole thing became sort of this one Midbar. And again, the different names represent different lessons that we can extract. And again, all of this furthermore is to explain to us why Hashem specifically chose a midbar. Yoser min hayishuv. Why didn't Hashem give the Torah in a big city? Because the midbar had to it these five different names, and the different names teach us different lessons about our relationship with Torah and our relationship with the world because we accepted the Torah. Shem shel hamidbar hu shem ha'atzmi hu chorev. The essential name, the true name of this place was Midbar Chorev. Ki hakol hu chorban ushmama sham. Because again, as we explained, it was a desolate place. It was an empty place. A place of chorban. There was nothing happening there. And that's dafka why it's a good place to get the Torah. Again, highlighting the fact that the Torah is for everyone. Highlighting the fact that the Torah has this midah of humility. Highlighting the fact that the Torah is outside, again, of normal life. It's something that's above regular existence. And therefore, the midbar is an entirely fitting place for Hashem to command us in mitzvos. Asher gozer Hashem yisbarach al nevram b'koach adin. Right? Because again, by giving us mitzvos, Hashem is... We associate the midbar, as he's about to say, with midas hadin. I mean, think about, you know, you're taking the sayer la'azazel, and you take it out into the midbar, and you throw it off a cliff. A midbar is a place that is devoid of life, and because of that, we often associate it with a certain negative energy. That's why Kabbalah Sator comes to show that even a midbar can be transformed into a place of godliness. Right? But on the surface, what we're explaining is that the midbar is a very fitting place for a person to receive mitzvos, for Hashem to give gezeros, because a midbar is a place of midas hadin. Ki kol ha-mitzvos heim gezeros al Yisrael, and all of the mitzvos, first and foremost, are nothing other than God's decrees, and we have to be ready to receive them as such. Ukamo shamarnu, v'ha-midbar makam yuchal l'midas hadin, and a midbar is a place of midas hadin, v'ha-davar hazeh yadua. And again, this is well known, that the midbar, because it's so empty, because it's so quiet, it's a place that we associate sometimes, again, with the Sar La'azazel. We associate it with the Sitra Achra and all sorts of anti-godly things. But that's, again, part of the reason Hashem Dafka chose a midbar to manifest himself. Okay, so that's the name Chorev, a place of Chorban, a place of Shmama, of total desolation. Hashem Hasheni, the second name that is given to this wilderness. Where are we on the screen? Hashem Hasheni, Midbar Kadesh. Right? The second name the Gemara says is Midbar Kadesh, and Iskadri Yisrael Alav. It was a place where the Jewish people entered into a new, achieved a new level of Kedusha. Kvar Sbar Zela Malagam, can we explain above? Ki Roy Haya Kol Davar Kedusha B'Midbar. If the definition of Kedusha is distinct, separate, holy, elevated, so therefore a midbar, which is a place that is not natural, a place that is removed from physicality, is a perfect place for Kedusha. Because Kedusha itself means designation or separation. Hareyat mekudesh esli. When a man places a ring on his kala's finger and says, behold, you are betrothed to me. There's an exclusivity in that relationship. So the midbar is a place that is what? That is utterly detached from physicality. V'chol ha'dvarim asher heim elokim ru'uyim b'midbar. And therefore all things which are godly are fitting to have a relationship with midbar. And again, that's why the greatest of our people, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, they were all shepherds, people who went out into the wilderness. K'moshe yisbar lifneza, as we've explained previously. V'kasher ratza Hashem yisbarach l'kadesh osam, and therefore when Hashem wanted to sanctify us, kidesh osam b'midbar, he chose the midbar as the place to bestow that sanctity upon us. Kisham ru'uya ha'kedusha v'prat, because that is a place that, again, specifically is geared towards Kedusha. K'moshe kol ha'dvar ma'lokim ha'kedoshim ru'uyim el ha'midbar. Lefichach nikra midbar kadesh. And therefore, part of that wilderness is called midbar kadesh. Again, Kedushin being separation. Od nikra mikra midbar paran. Furthermore, we said it's called midbar paran. Shaparu v'ravu alav. That B'nai Yisrael were blessed with children after Kabbalah Satorah. Perish. Kasher Ratza Hashem Yisbarach laharbos es Yisrael, Hashem decided, right, why is Har Sinai a place of population growth? Ki kasher yatzu mitzrayim mesu harbe mehem. Very powerful idea. People talk about this in the context of, you know, of kind of the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael after the astounding numbers of Jews who were lost during the Holocaust. And there were certain rebbes who focused on, you know, being mechazek people to have a lot of kids, try to have a lot of kids, bring new souls back into this world. Think about how many were lost. So therefore, kasher ratza Hashem yisbarach laharbos es Yisrael, when Hashem decided, I want to increase the numbers of the Jewish people to make up for the many Jews who died in Mitzrayim. Interesting. Ki kasher yatzu Mitzrayim meisu harbim mehem. Many Jews died in Mitzrayim and on the way out of Mitzrayim. V'ratza laharbos esam v'hakim b'neim tachtam. And Hashem wanted to restore the Jewish people to its former glory. That there should be a legacy, right? You need, Torah is only as good as the Masorah to pass on the Torah. And therefore, Eloha Yeroi Lezerach HaMidbar. The Midbar is a fitting place. Ki HaMidbar Hu Miyuchad L'midah Sadin K'moshe Yisbar. We've explained a moment ago that the Midbar, because it's so empty, is a place of Midah Sadin. What does that have to do with childbirth? V'chol Otzaz told those who bekoch Gvuras Midah Sadin. And the production of a child comes from a place of Gvura of Midas Adin. Now, how do you explain that? I guess you could say that if Chesed in the Sphiros is sort of a masculine energy, Gvura on the left side is a feminine energy. And the woman is the one who really nurtures the child and gives birth to the child. The child develops within her. So there's an element of Midas Adin that allows for creation of birth to take place. Bereishis Bara Elokim, Midas Adin. I explained it in my other sefer as well. It's of a kasheria anu oso kenyer bevachenyer frutz. It's growth that comes about through what? Through opposition. That's why in Mitzrayim, the more they oppressed us, the more that what? The more that we flourished. That's always how it is. You try to break us down, we multiply. Shekasher hayamidas hadin kenegdam hayuparim v'rabim bioser. The more you try to oppose us, the more we're going to continue to push back, right? It's also reminiscent of the frog, according to that opinion in the Medrash. The more you hit the frog, the more you try to act towards it with Midas Adin, the more it multiplies, right? So the more you try to destroy Klal Yisrael, the more you motivate us to bring more neshamas into the world. Ukamosha timsa b'chol habriya, shiyatza sapoel b'koach shem elokim, like we see throughout the beginning of the Chumash, like I mentioned, Breishis bar elokim, that's where creation takes place. Shehu midas adin, right? There's something about midas adin. Again, you would think olam chesed yibaneh, right? But there's an element to din that allows for creation. It demands creation to take place. Va'achar ma'isav reishas nishtatev rachamim im shem elokim. And then afterward, after we've gone through that initial reishas bar elokim, so then we start to see Hashem's name yud kevavkei appearing slowly, starting to appear in the early part of the Torah. Ki shem mazkir habriya v'tikun habriya gamkin. Ki etzam hatold of ayetziya lepol bilvad, nizkar b'sheshes mei b'reshes, v'chsiv sham elokim bilvad. He says, at the very beginning of the Torah, in order to put creation into motion, there needs to be a certain pressure, right, to allow it to grow, allow it to cook, so to speak. So that's the Shem Elokim that it permeates the beginning of the Chumash. I think, 31 times, 32 times? 32 times at the beginning of Chumash, you find the name Elokim. Aval ata maskir hayetziya lepoal v'gam tikun habriya. Right? But this is also alluding to not only the initial formation, but the constant perfecting of the Bria. Again, the same way that a woman nurtures that Vlad inside of her for 9 months until she's ready to give birth. But to strike that balance between forcing the world into existence and being able to what? To gently guide it down its proper path. That's why we see eventually the name Yud Kei Vav Kei appears. Hashem ala Adam. From the fact that in Parak Beis it starts to say how Hashem, not Elokim, that Hashem, Vayitzav Hashem, Allah Adam, Hashem commanded Adam. Kfar Gemar Kol Abriya V'Tikun Abriya Maskir Shem Hashem Bilvad. Once you already have kind of perfected the Bria, or at least established the framework of the Bria, so now we can start using Yud Kei Vav Kei. But initial creation and formation comes about from the name Elokim. U'lefichach Midas Adin, Hu Miyuchad L'Ribay HaToldos, Va'in Kan Makom Zeh. So we see again that Midas Adin is what forces, in a sense, birth to take place. This is not the place to elaborate further, says the Maharal, Ki hu davar chachma, because there's a deep, a very deep mystical element here. And this bar b'makom acher, and perhaps we will explain it somewhere else. But again, this name of Midbar Paran, a place of Puravu, again, is a place of is synonymous with the Midbar, because the Midbar is Midas Adin, and there needs to be a certain element of Midas Adin to allow for creation to take place. Bereishis Bar Elokim, that's the way that it always is, and there's more to discover within that, but the Maharal says it's too mysterious, so we'll leave it for now. Okay, so let's pause here for tonight. We got a little bit of a Chorev, we got a little bit of insight into Midbar Kadesh, Midbar Paran. And Mirtz Hashem, next time, we'll talk a little more about, we'll end the parak, Midbar Sinai, Midbar Kademos, and a little more about that machlokas. Is it called Har Chorev, or is it called Har Sinai? Right? And what does the name Har Chorev mean to the Jews who it impacted positively? You tell me it brought a Chorban and a Sinah to the enemies of Klal Yisrael. It brought animosity towards us because we accepted the Torah. But what does Har Chorev, in a positive sense, mean to a Jew? So Mirtz Hashem, we'll have to see if we can work that out next time as we finish the 26th parak. Okay? All right, let's stop here.